was the first person to break all 10 commandments? Anybody know? Moses. If you don't get that joke, you can look up the golden calf incident in Exodus 32 a little later. Literally broke the commandments. Well, he may have been the first to break the 10 commandments, but he certainly wasn't the last to do so. There are at least two kinds of people in the world: rule followers and rule breakers. Are there any rule followers here this morning? Raise a hand. Got some, you know you're a rule follower. You're going to go the speed limit, all that good stuff. Yep. How about any rule breakers here? Not quite so many hands up for that one. Rule breakers are like, why do I have to put my hand up? I'm not following your dumb rules. But my question isn't really fair because we're all a bit of a mix, right? Sometimes we're rule followers and sometimes we're rule breakers. We're mixed together. Today, we reach a sort of halfway point in our Lenten journey of fasting. How is your Lenten discipline going? Have you followed your own rules or broken them? Perhaps some of us identify with Paul's sentiment in our reading from Romans 7:18. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now, if you don't identify with Paul's sentiment, you might have picked something a little too easy for Lent. Yes, Lord, I'm going to give up broccoli this year, and I may even throw in cauliflower while I'm at it. I'm that devoted to you. Paul is addressing something that we are all too familiar with. We often know the right thing to do, but we don't do it. We know we shouldn't spend so much time on our devices, but we keep feeling the pull and the tug to check that next email, to look at our text messages or scroll on social media. We know we shouldn't gossip, but before we know it, the gossip is leaping out of our mouths. We know we shouldn't covet, but I really wish I could have that house that my neighbor just got, or that car that he just parked in his driveway. Paul says, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. God's law, that we got to hear twice this morning, confronts and convicts every single one of us. That's why we read the Ten Commandments during Lent at the start of the service. It's to prompt us and prepare us to confess our sins, to remind us of this high call that God has placed before us and before which all of us fall short. All of us are rule breakers. As the Apostle John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The law, God's holy law, reveals that all of us are sinners. A while back, I was in a hotel for a meeting, and I was running late. My flight had been delayed, and so I checked into the hotel. I rushed upstairs, and I'm, you know, changing my clothes quickly, and I realized I probably need to brush my teeth before I go to this meeting, so I rushed into the bathroom, and I went into the bathroom, and I've never seen this many light switches on a bathroom wall in my life. There was like 7 light switches. There was like a switch for the overhead light. There was a switch for like sconces on the walls, and then there was this one light switch that when I flipped it, these super bright lights behind the mirror, alongside the mirror, just came on all of a sudden. And as I looked in the mirror, I saw this giant black streak of dirt right across my forehead. I was so glad I had turned on those lights. But then, because these really bright lights were on and the mirror was right there, I noticed that I could see every part of my face in excruciating detail. And I started to look a little bit closer and realized there were some things out of order. I thought to myself, wow, my nose hairs really need to be trimmed. My eyes, are they always that bloodshot? Did I always have this many blackheads? I wasn't used to seeing myself in that level of detail. God's law is like a super bright mirror. It reveals to us how we actually are. Now, this might seem like a curse, but it's actually a precious gift. It is not until we see ourselves as we actually are that we can start to become who God is calling us to be. As the Anglican Catechism says, God's holy law is a light to show me his character, a mirror to show me myself, a tutor to lead me to Christ, and a guide to help me love God and others as I should. So this morning, I want to look at that a little more closely with you. I want to look at the rule followers and the rule breakers, whichever one you most identify with, and what God's law can be to us today. So we'll start with the rule followers. First, the rule followers. Some of us, when we look at God's law, when we look at the Ten Commandments, we say, okay, I can do this. I'm just going to kind of bear down and be holy, and I'm going to do everything on this list. Well, that was the response of the Pharisees. They weren't bad people. I think sometimes we get this impression of the Pharisees as being like bad, evil, horrible people. They weren't bad people at all. They were good people with a good and holy ambition. They're rule followers. Paul was a rule follower. He was a Pharisee. Paul had spent decades rigorously training to be able to keep all of God's holy law. To Paul's credit, and all the other rule followers out there, at least they see the goodness of the law, right? At least they see it, like the psalmist did, as this gift that we can actually know what God expects of us. And he's not just going to smack us when we didn't know, right? They know that keeping the law leads to a better life. But what Paul discovers is that trying to keep all the rules is not enough. You can follow all the rules and not know the ruler. You can obey all the commandments and not love the commander. And that's what he discovers. Being a rule follower can't make you love God and love people. In fact, following the rules led Paul to persecute Christians, to kill them and imprison them, to become an enemy of God, to the point where Jesus has to like show up and blind him on the road and say, Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Following the rules had led Paul to attack God. Following the rules didn't help the Jewish leaders to love God when he came to them as Jesus. It just made them want to execute Jesus for not following all the rules. But the rules of life God has established in his law are meant to be pathways for us to express our love for God and our love for people. The first four commandments in the Ten Commandments tell us how to love God. And then the next six, commandments 5 through 10, tell us how we can love people. That's what Jesus taught. He said, hey, you want to understand these Ten Commandments, everything that's in the Bible up to this point? Love God and love people. That's all you need to know. Nothing else matters. But when we make following the rules our goal, that's when we fail. As Paul says later in Romans 14, 23, he says, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. In other words, you can follow all the rules, but if it isn't built on a trusting relationship with God, then it's sin. The purpose of the law is to increase our faith, to deepen our relationship with God. Rule following, for the sake of rule following, won't give you life. Only relationship with Jesus can give you life. That's not to say that the rules are bad. As Paul says in our reading, the law is holy and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. It was given to us to keep us from death and give us life. And the way it does that is by revealing who God is and who we are. Our eyes are opened when we look in the mirror of the law. Well, that's the rule followers. But then there are the rule breakers. And there are really two types of rule breakers. The first are those who don't even know that they are breaking the rules. They are ignorant of the law. In Jesus' day, these were the Gentiles. They didn't have the law. They weren't part of God's holy people, the Jewish people. They were non-Jews. But then there were even some Jews that were ignorant of God's law. These were the Herodians. They partied and ignored God's laws. They participated in pagan worship and collaborated with the Romans who had invaded their country. We have all seen Herodians in our life. They think they're free from the law, but freedom from the law comes at a price. Instead of being totally free, they just become enslaved to sin. Their actions are just as predictable as the rule followers. People have not invented new ways to sin. They just keep returning to the same sins over and over and over again. Lust, greed, covetousness. Herodians don't go through their life assaulted by guilt over their sin because they aren't even aware of their sin. But being unaware that you have cancer is not the same as being cancer-free. The cancer will kill you just the same. I suspect that all of us have a Herodian side. We have areas in our lives where we are ignorant of our sin. The psalmist says, "Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. I don't even know all the ways that I've sinned against you, Lord." Until we look at the rules, until we study God's law, we don't even know what we've done wrong. And that is when we have no hope of being delivered out of it. That is the ultimate despair. It's when we think we are without sin that we have no hope of forgiveness of sins. The existentialist philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote a book called The Sickness Unto Death. He's one of my favorite philosophers, but he has this great quote about despair. He says, "What characterizes despair is just this, that it is ignorant of being despair." He goes on to describe what a person looks like who's in real despair. And he writes this, he says, "By seeing the multitude of people around, by being busied with all sorts of worldly affairs, such a person gains all that is required for a flawless performance in everyday life. Yes, for making a great success out of life. Far from anyone thinking him to be in despair, he is just what a human being ought to be. Naturally, the world has no understanding of what is truly horrifying. The despair that makes life convenient and comfortable is naturally enough in no way regarded as despair." Without God's law showing us our sin, we have no hope of being rescued from it. But then there's the other kind of rule breaker. They aren't really overt rule breakers. They're more like rule sneakers, if you want to call them that. They kind of sneak their way around the rules. Jesus coined a term for these people. He called them hypocrites. That term, Jesus made it up. He created that term, hypocrites. And literally it means somebody who's under a mask, somebody who wears a mask. He invented that term to describe what he saw many of the religious people of his day doing. It was to describe people who looked or appeared like they were following all the rules, but in reality they're not. They're mask wearers. Because unlike the Gentiles and the Herodians, they knew God's law, but they still did the wrong thing. This is what Paul is talking about when in Romans 7:13 he says, you know, that the law was given in order that sin might be shown to be sin and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. The commandment reveals the sin. Maybe an example will help illustrate this. When I was in preschool, I overheard people saying a word when they were really frustrated. And anyway, I was playing with a friend at home, and I got frustrated, so I shouted this new word that I just learned and discovered. Now, I didn't know what that word meant or that I shouldn't say it. I was like a Gentile or Herodian. I was ignorant at that point. So my mom gently kind of corrected me and said, "You know, son, that's not really appropriate. Don't say that word again." A few minutes later, I got excited again, and it just leapt out of my mouth, and I said it again. And so she came over and she said, "David, you may not say that word again, and if you say it again, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap." So me and my friend went upstairs to play, and, you know, at least I was this way as a kid, out of sight, out of mind. I got frustrated again, and I shouted the word. So my mom comes upstairs, confronts me, and what did I do? I lied. I said, I didn't say it. But if it sounds like a duck, it's probably going to get your mouth washed out with soap. It's one thing to sin in ignorance. It is another thing to sin knowing full well that it's wrong and then lying about it. Some of the Pharisees were hypocrites. They wanted everyone to think they were rule followers. They made a big show of the commandments they were keeping, but covered up the ones that they were breaking. Hypocrites were the ones who set up a market in the temple courts, selling animals to be sacrificed on the altar and changing out money so that the idolatrous Roman coin didn't show its face in the temple treasury. It's the hypocrites that make Jesus so angry that he fashions cords into a whip, overturns tables, and drives everybody out of the temple courts. They appeared like they were following the law. They were making it possible for people to make animal sacrifices to God, changing out money with Caesar's image on it so that they could keep the second commandment. But in reality, they were just being greedy, making money off people who just wanted to worship God. They charged a really high exchange rate and just stole money from people when they were trying just to come worship God and give money to the temple. Or when they kind of had an allegiance with the temple priests, and the priest would say, oh, your little lamb is not good enough. You need to go over here to the cellars and buy a better one. And then God will accept your sacrifice. They were preventing people from coming into worship and making money in the process. And Jesus is enraged by this. Even worse, the money changers and the merchants were using up the space in the court of the Gentiles where non-Jews could come and worship the one true God. They were literally blocking the path for people who were coming to worship God. What could be more opposed to the law than preventing people from coming and worshiping the one true God? By making a show of keeping the law, changing the money, and providing these animals for sacrifice, they were actually violating the central purpose of the law: to love God, to love people. We can be like this. We can wear a mask and make sure people only see us when our mask is firmly in place. Well, here is the judgment for all of us, the rule followers and the rule breakers. At the end of the day, all of us are hypocrites. All of us are mask wearers. We are all trying to hide from God and hide from each other. But the good news of the gospel is this: God sees you exactly as you are and loves you. He sees right through your mask to who you really are, and he loves you. In fact, Jesus loves you so much that he died for you on the cross, knowing full well how much of a hypocrite and sinner you are. Paul summarizes the whole gospel in two short verses in our reading from Romans 7. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. Listen to what Paul says. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will deliver the rule followers, the rule breakers, and the hypocrites? Who will deliver all of us sinners? Then listen to what he says next. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What moves Paul from despair to celebration? Jesus Christ, who came and died to save sinners. Maybe a better way to translate what Paul says would be to flip it around. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul knows that it is only in and through Jesus that we have been delivered from death, not by following the rules, not by trying to get around the rules, but through Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. The law is a gift to show us our sin and show us the way to take off our mask. For those who are being confirmed or received as members today, I want to invite you to take off your mask here at Servants. In just a moment, you'll make three affirmations. You will affirm Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You will affirm that the Bible is your authority for life and faith. But then the third affirmation is different. The bishop will ask you, will you obediently keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in them all the days of your life? Ooh, that's a big ask. But this time, you say something different. Before, to the other two, you say, I do, but this time you say, I will the Lord being my helper. We are acknowledging that there is no way we can keep God's commandments without God's help. It is only by the grace of God, only by the power of Jesus that we can keep God's commands. Only He can transform our hearts where we even want to do the right thing. I want that to embolden you. Let that be your solid ground here at Servants as members. Let that embolden you to take down your mask, that you can be healed and made whole. Not how good you are, but how good He is. And for all of us, what is your mask? Whether you're a rule follower, a rule breaker, or just another hypocrite, God is stronger than your sin, and He alone can save you. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.